Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. Health Suites with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. Dr. Matthew Yeo is on the phone with me. He's plastic surgeon for Picasso Plastic Surgery. And you know what? I'm actually really looking forward to this question that I have about more long-term, more long-lasting procedures. So Dr. Yeo, welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, Clarissa. It's a pleasure. And Merry Christmas and Happy
Merry
New Year.
Christmas. Compliments of the season to you. We have a nice long weekend coming up. So this is the perfect time to talk about those last procedures that we can do to be 2021 ready.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Okay, now let's start with, since we have all been wearing masks and we're all working from home, I think in speaking with colleagues and friends, a lot of us are considering our aesthetic options, our plastic surgery options, because we have the downtime. We can be at home. We can recover from procedures that are a little bit more invasive than just the odd jab. Are you seeing that in clinics?
Oh, yes. Yes. As you have just mentioned, there are patients who normally come for their minimally invasive treatments, mm-hmm. but in the recent weeks, in the recent months, I've seen actually an increase in number of people seeking surgical rejuvenation. And by surgical rejuvenation, we mean, you know, procedures that involve cutting and stitching and, you know, and lifting. Yeah. So we do have, well, I've seen more patients request for brow lifts, facelifts, and so on.
Did we suddenly become braver, or are people just willing to deal with maybe a longer recovery time because we got vainer?
Well, that's a very good question. I think that, it's a combination of a few things, but when we were pre-COVID, I think when everyone was economically active, right, people had very little time to dedicate to recovery. Mm-hmm. So I do think that a lot of patients who would have previously considered surgery opted for minimally invasive treatments. And now that, we are sort of, many of us are working from home or wearing a mask, many of them now take the opportunity to go back to the surgical treatment, which they may have initially wanted. Yep. And also, yes, secondly, because now we wear masks, so maybe people who initially didn't think of doing surgery may now find it an acceptable option because they can hide their recovery and their bruising, you know, and swelling behind a face mask.
Right, right.
And also now, because a lot of people work from home, so, well, and part of the privilege of remote working is you don't need to face your colleagues if you don't want to. So
yeah, turn off that camera on the Zoom call.
That's right. Yeah.
So do the stuff that you were thinking of doing because now's the best time is what you're saying.
Yeah, I based on the feedback I get from many patients, yes, they feel that.
They feel that.
Yeah, now's the best time. In fact, I think many of them were looking for surgical rejuvenation before phase three. So, yeah, we were actually, well, relatively busy for a while. Yeah.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's got to be trends with all of these kinds of things. What was trending as far as the menu of more invasive procedures that could be done?
Well, it could be a range of things. I think it depends on what people are looking to correct or improve. So simple things like liposuction treatments to improve the body contour. Also, in the recent few months, I've had more cases of body contouring with tummy tucks and also facial rejuvenation with things like facelifts and brow lifts and, you know, and so on. And eyelid surgery. I've done a fair number of eyelid surgeries in the last few months.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're speaking with Dr. Matthew Yeo, plastic surgeon at Picasso Plastic Surgery. Now, I've been told, and I'm assuming that you're going to expound on this, but I've been told that after maybe a facelift or what have you, it's also a good time to start looking at fillers and botulinum injections.
That's a tongue twister.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yes. Yeah, so is that correct? Do they work together in tandem?
Yes. So I think a common misconception is that these treatments are sort of mutually exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, based on my practice and my experience, I don't think they're mutually exclusive. You can think of these minimally invasive treatments as, for example, if, let's say we take maintaining a car as an example. Of course, the face is much more complex than maintaining a car. But if you drive a car, you know, you send it into the workshop every half a year, every year, you know, you do an oil change, you change your, you know, brakes or whatever it is. And maybe every 3 to 4 years, you actually need to do a major servicing where some of the other parts need to be changed. So I would say that actually minimally invasive treatments and surgical treatments work hand in hand. And quite often we see patients attempt minimally invasive treatments for a couple of years, and over time, as we all get more aged, the minimally invasive treatments start to lose effect, because when the skin gets more saggy, when the muscle gets more saggy, the minimally invasive treatments start to have less visible effect. And that's when surgery becomes useful,
mm-hmm.
because it is only through surgery that you can actually reduce the excess skin and tighten the muscle and so on. But having said that, even after surgery, many patients may still require minor touch-ups here and there, you know, every year, every half a year, in terms of filler treatments to replenish the lost facial volume. Or sometimes they still need a bit of botulinum toxin treatments to erase away the fine lines that can happen with expression. Now, these are things which surgery do not necessarily address very well. So that's why I say that surgery and minimally invasive treatments actually work hand in hand.
Okay, so if you are a younger person, say in your mid-30s, you start with the fillers and the botulinum injections. Is that correct?
Yes.
Then when you move into, say, your 50s, you might be looking at a facelift and something more invasive like that.
Yes, but although I don't normally put a number to a medical procedure, mm-hmm. or surgical procedure.
Sure.
Because we all age at different rates, mm-hmm. you know, if you go to your old class reunions, you realize that some of your classmates look so much older than you do. I would say, you know, maybe 90% look older than you do, 10% look younger than you do. So people age at different rates, right? And how fast we age is a combination of genetic factors as to what we inherit from our parents, okay, and how well we take care of ourselves, such as, you know, whether we sleep well, whether we have a stressful lifestyle. You know, whether we've had massive weight loss in the recent past, all these things may contribute to, you know, the perception of aging. So, yes, I would say in general, people in their 20s and 30s do get by with minimally invasive treatment. But, well, I would say beyond 30s, it could be either minimally invasive treatment or surgery, or quite often both.
Right. Okay. Now, we are 3 days away from New Year's Eve and a brand new year. If I came and saw you today and said,
yep.
Doc, jab me up.
Yes.
So that 2021, I look my freshest and I have a, you know, slightly refreshed face, or a very refreshed face, depending on your opinion. Would I be good to go by the 31st, or would I still have jab marks or a little swelling or what have you?
Well, first of all, Clarissa, you look fantastic, amazing.
Thank you.
If you walked into my clinic, I say, okay, thank you, happy new year, goodbye. Right, but, well, in general, I would say minimally invasive treatments, the advantage of minimally invasive treatments, they have a very short recovery time, so things like you might get a little bit of bruising, a bit of swelling, but they generally resolve within a day or two,
mm-hmm.
right? And in terms of the needle marks, they're gone the following day, right? And, well, if you're talking about the duration of effect of these minimally invasive treatments,
mm-hmm.
for botulinum toxin, normally, you know, it's 4 to 6 months before you need a top-up. For filler injections, it depends what filler was used and how it was injected and so on. It usually lasts for 6 to 9 months. So if you came into the clinic today, yeah, you'd be ready for the new year and beyond.
Oh, okay. And
yeah.
I would have no evidence of having been jabbed.
Yes, that's right.
All right. Now, one of the questions I get from a lot of listeners who are probably as much afraid as I am of those first, you know, a lot of my friends who go for very regular treatments, those first few treatments were terrifying. And then they're like, yeah, whatever. It's nothing. I can go to tea immediately after that. But for those who haven't tried that first treatment yet, what should they expect?
Well, I think it helps to know the treatment you're going for, mm-hmm. right? But before you know the treatment you're going for, it's important for you to know, for the general patient to know which area do they want to improve and how they want to improve it, right? Now, if a patient walks into my clinic and says, hey, I just want to look younger, mm-hmm. and they can't tell me how they want to look younger, that makes it difficult because if they don't have an ideal in mind, then it's very difficult to try to achieve that ideal. Right. So I think first, identify the area that you want improved. Second, identify what you want improved about the area, okay, or areas. And read around the procedures. You don't necessarily need to commit to the procedure on the same day as you do your first consultation.
Okay.
It is perfectly okay to see your doctor, you know, get an input and go home and read up and come back, you know, a couple of days later for your treatment, okay? And finally, I think what is important is the patient's confidence in the doctor, right? So I think by the way a doctor does the assessment and explains the proposed treatment and all that, you know, the patients have a sense of, you know, their experience level, their expertise and so on. And it's important for every patient to be comfortable with the doctor they're seeing. Right, and there's no doctor that can please 100% of patients, and I mean it's perfectly okay, you know, if you're not comfortable with your doctor, it's okay to get an opinion from elsewhere, and try to see if the opinion is the same opinion or whether the other doctor is proposing something else, and to see whether you're comfortable with treatment A or treatment B.
All right, we're speaking with Dr. Matthew Yeo, plastic surgeon, Picasso Plastic Surgery. Now, a lot of people don't perhaps have an accurate enough idea of what a fair expectation is after the first treatment is. You know, some of them that I've spoken to have walked into the clinic thinking, and they're going to walk out looking 10 years younger. Is that realistic or not?
Well, I think it's a combination of, again, a few factors. Mm. I think patient expectations need to be reasonable, but for them to be reasonable, I think they need something to reference to, right? So they may sometimes refer to their friends who've had certain treatments, and they say, oh, you know, my friend looks 5 years younger from this treatment,
mm-hmm.
and may I also have this treatment with the same effect? Or if, you know, they are coming in fresh with nothing to reference to or nobody to reference to, it's not wrong to speak to the doctor and ask the doctor, you know, could you show me a few of your previous cases with this particular treatment or that particular treatment, and can you show me what amount of improvement to expect? And these are common things we do. Some of the newer things that people do, there are computer programs or simulation devices that can simulate a certain result after a procedure. These are not widely used currently. I would say that they are used in some very, very more like a research kind of based scenario, right? So these are the three ways I think patients can be familiar with what results to expect.
So they come in with a 55-year-old face and they say, Doc, I want to leave with a 20-year-old face. Maybe that's asking a bit much.
Well, yeah, yes, it's quite likely. I mean, with all these facial aesthetic treatments, we aim to reverse aging, but mm-hmm. not all facial aging processes can be completely reversed, right? Maybe just a very quick diversion to explain it. As we all get older, we lose bone mass from the face, and we lose bone mass from, for example, the area just below the eyes,
okay?
And that contributes to the formation of tear trough or eye bags, okay? And we also lose bone from the maxilla, which is the upper jaw, and we also lose bone from the mandible, which is the lower jaw. So many of these facial aesthetic procedures, they may either relieve the muscle function and remove the wrinkles, or they may improve the facial volume, but they don't necessarily replace things like bone loss or muscle lengthening due to age. So yes, there is a limit to the results we can expect with minimally invasive treatments.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, I think that fulfills the need for a vast majority of people.
Right.
And for for the small percentage of people who are looking for even better result, then they may need to consider surgical procedures on top of the minimally invasive procedures.
Right, okay. And they do complement, which is what you said. You go in for a more invasive procedure, but like, you know, the tune-up that your car needs, those filler injections, that botulinum injection is going to also work in tandem.
Yes, that's right. So, like, for example, when I do a facelift on patients, sometimes they look good after the surgery, but because the surgery itself does not remove, for example, the crow's feet, you know, the smile lines and all that, so they'll come back and they say, hey, you know, doc, you know, I'm very happy the way I look. It's just this little bit that gives away my age. What can you do for me? And for me, it's a quick fix in a clinic with just a bit of botulinum toxin. And it's, you know, just two or three injections per side. And with a small dose of toxin, and they still look very natural after the injections.
Which is very important to most people. They want you to believe that that's a natural occurrence. They suddenly emerged in 2021 looking refreshed and younger, but they're not necessarily going to admit to treatments. I know a few of my girlfriends would be guilty of that.
Yes, absolutely right.
So natural.
I agree with you. I think a natural look is what we all want to achieve. Now, I think if we understand the process of facial aging, then we will also understand that the physiological way of reversing aging will involve both surgery and minimally invasive treatments. For example, as we get older, the skin gets a bit more loose, right? And so there's no amount of lasers or other procedures that will remove that loose skin other than surgery, right? And same thing, as we get older, the facial muscles become a bit more loose. So these usually need some form of surgical tightening.
All right. Yeah. Well, you were very, very sweet. But when I start to sag enough that the spousal unit starts commenting about it, I will come in for those jabs.
Sure. Maybe many years from now, Clarissa.
You're very kind. We've been speaking with Dr. Matthew Yeo, plastic surgeon at Picasso Plastic Surgery, about more invasive procedures and how they work in tandem with the fillers and with the botulinum injections. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I hope you have a fabulous, festive New Year period.
Yeah, you too, Clarissa.
Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Right, thank you.
Bye-bye. I'm Clarissa Montero. This has been Health Suites on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.